6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust. This is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris Adlai-Force, joined virtually by my co-host who has returned from her worldwide tour, Anna Forsyth at eForsyth03. Welcome back, Anna.
Thank you. It's good to be back. It's good to be back talking to you. It's good to be back watching some kind of hockey. At least being on the right time zone for some sort of hockey, even though it's not Canucks hockey. But yeah, it's nice to be back overall.
That's good. And not from South Africa, which is apparently what I had tried to misremember.
Yeah, I did go to South Africa in January. Lucky duck that I am. But different wedding. I went back to the UK for my brother's wedding. He got married in Scotland. So, yep, whole family assembled. Lots of kilts. It was great. Weirdly sunny for Scotland. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Weirdly sunny.
Yeah, it shouldn't be sunny in May in northern Scotland, but it was, and it rained the whole next day. So it was just the wedding it was nice for. Okay. So we're taking that as a win.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, if it doesn't rain on your wedding day, it's a win. Though when I was in Maui, I was told that if it rains before your wedding, that's lucky.
Is that in Hawaiian culture or just in general?
Oh, I don't know. In depending on where you are, and in like we got married on the island of Maui on the leeward side. I think it's the arid side. I don't know. But we're on the arid side of the island, which gets much less rain. But the day of our wedding, it was kind of like we get the clouds here where it's dark, and you're like those contain rain. In Maui, it never really gets to that stage, but you can tell those clouds, they got rain, and we got a little on that day, but it stopped, and it created for some like phenomenal sunset style pictures. So
yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. But anyhow, congratulations to brother Anna.
Thanks. I'll pass it on. Yeah, it was good to be gone, but you continue to thrive in my absence. Should I take it as an insult that Clay only comes on when I'm not here now?
Well, maybe. I mean, Clay's the type of guy to, make it personal like that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I was actually thinking, because when he and I referenced it on the show, have you and he been on the same episode together? I know there was a thing about how it was always one or the other.
We have, but not in person. Mm. Maybe there was one C4 episode I guessed it on.
With like Clay in the room.
CKNW days and Clay was on the phone. Yeah.
Ah, okay. I see that doesn't count.
Exactly. He and I have not been in the same room recording a podcast. We have been in the same room. He weirdly, considering the fact he flew.
We've gone to one of his Twitter events. YouTube events.
But I was going to say, considering he flew across the world to meet me. I mean, some would argue he was flying across the world to a conference in London.
To meet you. The conference just happened to be the bonus.
But yeah, it is weird he's now avoiding me, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I take it personal.
Yeah. I think so.
Speaking of taking things personal, the NHL playoffs decided that they didn't want us to give us a nice smooth entry into the Stanley Cup final. But it does make for some podcast material that we get to talk about a little bit later. The World Cup is done, and World Cup or Worlds, World Championship. I'm going to screw it up again.
World Cup of Hockey anymore. They don't trust us with that.
Canucks had some representation there because, hey, when you're a team that doesn't make the playoffs, there's a good chance you get the phone call. You could argue that the Canucks were successful in a variety of different ways, one more than another, though that's a matter of perspective because both arguably succeeded. What else? Oh, Department of Player Safety.
I mean, just when do they not provide us fodder to talk about it? But
yeah. And of course, we got another another segment of Dream Team. So you know what? Let's start rewinding the show back up. I'm eventually going to figure out a way to segue into Rewind. Like, so it's smooth.
I think that was fine. Like, it wasn't your worst.
Let's no, put it like but that. Like in my esports podcast, we have two segments. We have the payload and the fray. And it is, let's start pushing the payload.
Okay.
It's a gaming reference. Uh-huh. And then the next one is, we'll take a break before we dive into the fray. And that's, there's the ironclad segues that occur. And it is always a, like it's smooth. I've got it just figured out. C4 has always been the struggle because our segments, while I feel are sound and make a lot of sense, I'm of the mind that maybe they don't need a segue and we just go and like, smash the rewind button and
yeah, I mean,
off we go.
Like the intro staying into rewind is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. What yeah, it is. And it's loud, scare you, wake you up. Stanley Cup playoffs are well into playoff mode. I mean, I don't know what to describe it as. We were talking about this in C4 Discord, and it was after the first round, somewhat boring. I mean, again. If you're a fan of the teams that were participating, maybe not so much. However, for those of us sitting here on the outside looking in, you know, I would argue that we got a good series from the Kraken.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, that series, Vegas-Seattle looked good.
See, like, I'm in the minority, but I wasn't as down on the first round as a lot of people, just because I was like, well, there were no sweeps. Like, it could have been worse, I thought. Like, at least we, like, had some almost upsets or whatever.
Well, the first round was stellar. I the people who tell me that it wasn't, is it that you're upset that your team lost? Like, or that there were upsets? Right? Like, I mean, I don't know where people are agitated about. Round two, it's kind of like, you know, round one gave its all and round two just was never going to get to that level. The conference finals, sure, the West went longer than it probably should have. But you can't tell me that that was an exciting style of hockey we got to witness between Vegas and Dallas. And out East, it was a sweep, four straight. And then, like, going back to Clay and I, where Clay's like, no, no, you know, Florida, they're on this run. They've got momentum on their side. Carolina's going to take it. And I'm like, are you? I'm like, I feel it's Carolina. But now that you've said this, you've convinced me. If this team gets themselves on a heater.
Yeah. I mean, I was, like, definitely shocked by that one. Like, Carolina's was my pick to win the whole thing.
But they didn't have Tkachuk.
Yeah, they don't have Tkachuk. Like, what an impact.
Do you know who could have drafted Matthew Tkachuk if you hadn't heard this before?
Yeah. In case anyone hasn't heard, the Canucks could have drafted
Matthew Tkachuk. He wouldn't be a Vancouver Canuck at this point. He would have gone elsewhere or have been traded elsewhere. But yeah continue.
But like he is such just like an impact player. It's crazy. He's
didn't he have like in that series alone 3 game winners?
Yeah. He's so much fun to watch. Like he's like a bit rowdy sometimes, but like
we all like rowdy players.
Yeah. He's a great player to watch, but as a whole that series was a bit lame. Because it's like Carolina just really just rolled over. It was just sad.
Well, I wouldn't say Carolina rolled over. They simply had no answers, right? Yeah. Like it was, they tried to do everything they could possibly do, to solve Bobrovsky, and Bob was on. He had, I think, really it was a game three, I want to say, was the one, or was it game two? One game where it's like, yeah, okay, Bobby, you're making it interesting. But beyond that, you know, Florida has, like, I can't compare Florida to the team that I'm going to compare them to, but they have a lot of 94 Canucks to me, like, where things have just started to come together at the right time. I have not watched Florida at all throughout the season beyond, you know, playoff hockey. So it could be that maybe they're better than that team, but gosh, I wouldn't want to be Vegas playing them. And spoiler alert, Vegas eliminated Dallas tonight, 6-0. I flipped on the game back and forth because I wasn't really all that invested and saw that, you know, Vegas was up, was it 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. Yeah. And then when I turned it back on midway through the third period at 6, and those gray seats in Dallas are sure apparent when they're empty.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the type of market that's going to just stick by their team no matter what, which is no disrespect to Dallas whatsoever. I think that just makes them smart. Like, yeah, it is incredibly funny to me, obviously, that Jamie Benn didn't win a single game. Like, they didn't win a single game when Jamie Benn in the lineup. Like, incredibly funny. But overall, it's another disappointing series, even if we're saying, like, there was some good hockey in there, but, like, even compared to the series in the East, just, like, Dallas was just, like, lame. But yeah, if you can't score, that's what they've found out. Like, you've got to find a way of solving a good goaltender performance. Like, in Hill, like, he's been great, especially, like, in this game and then game three. Like, brilliant performances. But you've got to unlock a hot goalie. Like, there's got to be a way through. And, yeah, Carolina and Dallas couldn't find it.
Yeah, Aiden Hill has, I think, really been one of, if not the story for the Golden Knights this throughout the playoffs. Interesting to note, unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not sure I rated him that much as a player. Did you hear his quote after game three?
No, I did not.
So some of the Dallas fans threw some popcorn at the player, and who's asked about it in post game, and he said, "I guess everything was hitting me tonight."
Oh,
it's a good answer.
Yeah, that's some quick wit right there. Yeah, I mean, we've got Vegas Golden Knights, Florida Panthers Stanley Cup final on paper. You would say Vegas gets the nod. You and I had said whoever came out of the series against Edmonton, like the Edmonton series, is the one that goes through, and I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely. And now that we're looking at Florida in the East, and you've got to have think whether all this rest has been good for them or not.
Have they actually, I haven't heard, but have they dealt with any injuries?
Yeah, in that's post-season? It. Like,
I mean, every one of the players has taken a knock or two. I mean, not that I'm not discounting, but like probably, anyone. Who,
yeah. I can't think of any big injuries, which means that we may find out about them later, but I think Dallas was the main walking wounded team. I don't know. Obviously, my mind goes back to Florida, what they did on their time off in the last year's playoffs. Was it last year? Against Tampa.
Don't recall.
You don't recall the team bonding?
No, I don't.
They, when they all went to a strip club together?
Hey. I believe they call that the ballet.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the ballet.
Okay, have I told you the story about my trip to watch the Canucks in Montreal and the ballet? Which, Oxford comma here.
Yeah.
So my friend Mike, my late friend Mike, he won a contest on, at the time I guess it would have been NW, gets on ice, wins the contest on the ice. He and a friend being flown to Montreal, watched the Canucks play. Fast forward to that week, he takes me, off we go, we watch the game. Great game, the Vancouver Canucks win, what have you. And we were in the same hotel as the team, but the way the Canucks structured the trip is they flew us out like the day before the game. We watched the game, and then the following day we were on a flight like late morning home. So Mike and I decide we're going to go back to the hotel. We'll just hit the bar, grab some drinks, and then head to our room. While we're in there, Brian Burke ended up buying us drinks, which was pretty cool. And
how have I never heard this story before? Continue, okay. But like,
well, so
the fact we, that my, that's a side note to the story.
Well, so okay, well, Mike and I, we were enjoying, because the team gave us $500 spending money. Well, you were in Montreal, the hotel's paid for. All we had was like food and whatever in two nights. $500.
Yeah. You know,
extends a fair distance on that time frame. So we had been enjoying a few rounds, and then next thing you know, we're chatting with some guy who sees us in our Canucks gear. He's like, "Oh, you guys Canucks fans?" And we're like, yeah. And we're commenting how so hard to get a ticket in Vancouver. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I've heard that." And we're like, "Yeah, but, you know, here we are out here." He's like, "Oh, did you come on your own?" "Oh, no, my buddy here, he won the, you know, this contest." Yeah. It's like, "Oh, hey, have you guys ever met Brian before?" We're like, "Brian? Like, who are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, Brian Burke." I'm like, "No, like, why would these two random guys have met Brian Burke?" What we didn't realize is this guy works for the team. Like, he is either in, like, communications or what have you. I don't recall his name, to be honest. I'm surprised I recall the night. And so he brings Brian Burke over, and my buddy and I were like, "Oh, this is great. Yeah, you know, thanks, Mr. Burke. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And can we buy you a drink?" He's like, no, well, we need to buy you a drink. Let's buy you a drink. And so he orders a drink. We order one. Yeah, cheers. Bum, bum, bum. See, we didn't, like, we had a tab, right? So we said, throw it on our tab. So after we have our drink, cheers, blah, 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 he goes off to the table and, you know, what have you. And we're like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." Brian paid for our tab. So when he left, nice. He just...
Yeah.
You know, theirs on mine or whatever. So now we, again, $500 stretches even farther. Yeah. So we're here having a good time. And then someone, you know, comes up to us and says, "Hey, you know, you saw you were talking to Brian Burke." And we're like, "Yeah, I came up. We had drinks with him." Again, we don't know he's paid for our tab at this point. Like, "Oh, yeah, you should come join us." And I want to say it was Shorty and, gosh, there was a bunch of, like press reporters, what have you. And then we're sitting there just listening to these stories. And then suddenly it the topic, like, "Hey, does anyone want to go to the ballet?" Mike and I are like, it's like 10 something, 11 something at night. Like, why would you be going to the ballet? Yeah. You guys come with us. Come with us. We know a great place. The dancers are fine. And again, Mike and I had not correlated what they were talking about.
I think especially if you're like had a few drinks, I don't think I would.
Yeah, like the 1+1 was nothing anywhere close to the number 2 for us. And so we ended up going out. We all get out. And then the problem was trying to get a cab. And so we hail a cab. Eventually one pulls up and a bunch of guys pile in. They all leave. And myself, Mike, and these two other guys were like, "We have no idea where they're going. No one told like it shared where to go." And so then we just went our separate ways. So I passed up an opportunity to go and watch the ballet in Montreal, which was probably for the best on a variety of different levels. But yes, but rewind a bit. Brian Burke bought us drinks.
I cannot believe we're however many years into knowing each other.
I would have thought you would have, I would have shared this story at some point.
Yeah, like, listeners from the very beginning, please tell me if Chris has already told this story, because I listened to C4 for a long time before I was on, but maybe not the very beginning, so please tell me if this has cropped up before, because it's amazing.
It's like...
What a night! I mean,
that, it was, like, if... Yeah, it was just a wild. It was a wild trip, and I mean, it was a how it all sort of ended up playing out was crazy too. Like, Mike winning the contest on the ice. There were three people. They're supposed to compete about firing pucks from like center ice into the net, and it wasn't like get it through like that small little space win a car. It was like whoever got the most. There was an older gentleman who, when he was informed he'd have to go on the ice for the contest, he's like, I'm not setting foot on the ice. That's a broken hip waiting to happen. I decline. And then the other person that was from the crowd, he had never held a hockey stick before. He was, I think, from the UK, I think. And he had a jersey, like a Canucks jersey. The tag was still on it. Mm. When they gave him the hockey stick, he was holding it like a golf club. It was obvious that he must have asked for like a left-handed stick and is using it right-handed. So like Mike was going to win, but, they put us up in the press box of that game. They gave us all the food. It was great.
This sounds fantastic. And this is like, I mean, my VIP Canucks story is pretty cool, but they didn't fly me anywhere. So you win.
Yeah, I don't know if they still do stuff like this. I mean, it would seem to me that they might, but I think the only thing that would have made it better.
I don't think they go around giving you $500 to spend at the bar.
Yeah. Well, it was, again, that wasn't at the bar. It was, here's $500 mm-hmm. to pay for your food and all of that because you've gotten this trip from us. We left Vancouver, like essentially it was an all day flight. We got to Montreal late. We watched the tail end of the game against the Senators the night before and then crashed. And then the following day walked around Montreal a little bit, or as much as we could, because I had broken my ankle weeks previous. So I was still sort of on crutches.
Sorry, it's not funny, but like it is kind of.
And I learned real quick that on crutches on the streets of Montreal matter very little to the vehicles who are wanting to turn right.
Right. I was going to say that must be if you're in all Montreal, the cobbled streets and stuff as well.
Yeah. If my friend Mike had won like the contest, like the game or two previous, there were some people who went and watched the game in Ottawa. Now I can't speak for that experience. However, apparently the winners went on the team charter.
Oh, see, I was laughing at them having to go to Ottawa instead of Montreal, but flying on the team plane is kind of fun.
I mean, we don't know this with 100% certainty, but the woman that was, you know, handling us at the game after, you know, Mike wanted to get the details, said, yeah, you know, unfortunately, you won't be on the team charter because that's the road trip and it's a night before, da 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 da. That's like, that was a thing? I mean,
Anyhow. We've, like, this is the biggest off the rails ever, but, like, whoa. This is the off-season, so please forgive us. So, what?
Okay. It's kind of like, it's an Canucks podcast. I just told a Canucks story.
Yeah. Wow. This is just, like, consider my goss flabbered. No. Anyway, do we have anything more in the playoffs?
Okay, who do you think is going to win it?
Vegas.
Okay, I'm saying Florida now.
Okay, they're on
Vegas. I feel that I think Clay was on to something. And as much as I think, like, I would have gone with Vegas. If Florida had gone through in six, I would have gone with Vegas. Five, maybe Vegas. Four, and the way Florida was playing leading up to that, yeah, Florida. I hope it's an entertaining final.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we can hope for, really, now. I think we've got to be grateful for the fact that one of the teams on Pacific time still.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's the way the playoffs will be structured is games in Pacific will be more closely aligned with Mountain or Central.
Am I wrong, but like, didn't all the games start at 5 in the Western Conference final?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's about the, like,
sucks.
you'd have to truly have a West Coast team, and even then, I would hazard a guess the league and Sportsnet, because TV is what's dictating this in Canada, and Sportsnet would look at the clock and wonder, is there any way that we could have the game early? Problem, like Vancouver hurts the gate. I mean, it wouldn't hurt the gate in the playoffs, but an early game is tough. LA, good luck.
Yeah. I think maybe, like, I think I'm pretty sure Vancouver games were at 7 in the 2011.
They were, but like, it's 7 o'clock. It is quite literally a, can we do it any earlier?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, if you're taking a like team like LA, yeah, they'll try and push it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's talk about the Worlds.
I feel a bit bad because on the rundown, I did not include Ethan Bear, who was also playing for Team Canada. So sorry, Ethan. But yeah, maybe put a sassier like Instagram post next time and I'll remember you. Did you see Tyler Myers' sassy Instagram post?
I didn't. I do not follow Canucks on social.
I mean, it's just about as sassy as hockey players get. It was just his caption was like in quotation marks.
Oh, I think I saw it. Worst Team Canada ever, or something like that.
Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, still the world's Tyler, calm down, but you know.
Eh, whatever. Gold's gold. I didn't watch any of it.
Nope, neither did I. I watched like goals.
Highlight packages.
Yeah,
what I got, if that.
And again, it was only Team Canada, a little bit of Latvia. Didn't watch any of Connor Garland, but I hear he was okay.
There was a post on Reddit where the Chaos Giraffe went down to block the cross, but there was no cross, and it just shows the Chaos Giraffe lying on the ice watching the puck go around the net and then into the back of his net.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's like peak Tyler. And but, you know, credit to him.
We are bearing the lead here because, like, Story of the Worlds is very much Artur Seelov's MVP. Team Latvia wins, like, a bronze.
Okay.
They get a national holiday, a presidential medal.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, MVP of the goaltender of the tourney. Was he MVP of the tourney?
MVP,
he was, okay.
Yeah, of the whole tourney.
I think it was, you know, Taj on Twitter says, the streets knew. Like, Seelov's looked good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's been looking good in Abbey, as you know, had spoken to. But he looked good in the Worlds.
Fine in Vancouver, like, obviously in a very minimal showing. But mm-hmm. with the season very much down the drain already. But, yeah. Obviously, the key question is now, is he a backup next year? Or is he still in Abbey?
Well, okay. Old Canucks organization would have him behind Thatcher next season.
Well, Thatcher starts like 60, 70 games.
No, but I think New Org might have him get a little more seasoning.
Yeah.
Until it becomes apparent that maybe there is a 1A, 1B option.
Yeah. And honestly,
I'm just guessing.
I think that's the right move, honestly. Like, I think he just needs to dominate in Abbotsford next year, and maybe later in the season that it becomes, you know, he gets called off, and if he's good, he sticks around. But, like, I really don't think we need to jump to anything. I mean, Canucks Twitter loves a story and a controversy, but, like, he's still, like, pretty young, and he spent the Canucks goalie depth was like decimated, honestly, during COVID. Like, Mikey on the taxi squad, Seelov's like moving around, getting loaned out, not playing. Like, it was bad. Mm-hmm. And they're still, I think, coming back from that. So I think really another year or another three quarters of a season dominating in Abbotsford, starting like the lion's share of the games, is no bad thing.
No, and I think it also puts the right pressure on the right places without having that, oh, I'm just going to sit here and catch a cold on the bench.
Yeah. Like, let's be honest, like, Thatcher Demko, like, if he stays healthy, he's, like, we expect him to be back to his former self, we hope. So, I don't know if it's that good a move to just, yeah, have him bench warm.
Yeah. Anywho, yeah, why don't we take ourselves a short break? And then get into the juicy bit. Half full, half empty.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Normally, I'd also segue this by saying that you're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. But I'm off my game. It's the off season.
You said it now.
I did, but normally I do it before.
Yeah.
But now you heard it now. So sorry.
Bases.
You ever fallen down on someone and used them to land?
I can truthfully say I haven't. Neither, like, have I used that as an excuse, but now I think about it, it's a pretty good one. If you were trying to get maybe close to someone, maybe you were trying to, like, dance up on someone, and you got a bit, like, too close.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I collapse and fall on you.
Yeah.
So next time we're together, I just go, and then just, like, fall on. On you say, so sorry, Anna.
Yeah, I think I might have to call HR if that happens.
Yeah, you probably should call HR. Make sure you put it in writing. Mm-hmm. Document everything.
But yeah,
we shouldn't like make light of this, but
yes, it does sound like a sexual harassment claim.
Yeah.
Bad excuse.
Oh, gosh. When I saw, okay, I didn't see it happen live, obviously, because I wasn't really watching the playoffs all that much. And I saw the replay of it, and I'm like, well, that's bad. Like,
and just to be clear, we're talking about Jamie Benn's.
Oh, yes. I presumed everyone joking. Would know. But like when you watch it and you're like, what was he thinking? Obviously nothing.
Yeah. No thoughts.
Only to then have the league say that was bad. We're going to give you a hefty suspension. 2 games.
Yeah, and it's funny, right? Because we obviously, like, I didn't even expect 2 games at that point, because I was like, league will count a game that you didn't. If you get ejected in the start of the game, rather than punishing you for, you know, like, starting off a game like a hot-headed lunatic, it's more like, oh, that counts as a game suspended. So, 1 more game. That's what I thought, but... Yeah, so 2 games is more than I thought would happen, but it's still, like, they're just looking to what happened. Like, Mark Stone was fine, so you can't.
I hate, though, that the punishment takes into consideration how injured or uninjured the aggrieved party happens to be. Like... you know, again, watching the replay, it's like, what in the actual is going through Ben's mind? That needs the book to be thrown at it. I mean, hearing his response, it's quite clear.
And the fact
message was not sent.
He did.
Received.
Yeah, he didn't even give that response until the next day because he didn't do post-game media because he's a baby.
Yeah. But the, you know, other point to take consideration is how the NHL views suspensions in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if it is a first round suspension, it's generally equivalent to the same number of games you would get during the regular season. Ish.
Maybe.
And then in the second round, okay, each game is now worth a game and a half to two. So if you get a two game suspension, that's like saying that's a series, or, you know, six games in a regular season. Round three, conference final. Now you're at like the 2 to 3. Again, it varies if it's early in the series, more close to the 3 equivalent to late, it's the 2 or vice versa. So there would be an argument that would suggest that he got himself a 6-game suspension, but in the playoffs, that'd be unfair.
Right. And I think what it comes
down to, still speaks to Aaron Rome getting suspended half an NHL season.
Yeah.
In the Stanley Cup final. But hey.
Yeah. And
we hold no grudges.
Like, what a mess that was. But like, I think setting aside the fact that that probably was nefarious, even if we're just talking about, like, their logic, which they think is good and sound and protecting players, like, I think it comes down to them not wanting to decide. They don't want their suspension to decide a series. Refs don't want their decision to decide the game. And it's just...
Let the players play.
It's so frustrating to watch, because especially in a sport like hockey, because I do think it's a common problem. I will recommend anyone that's interested in football, the Guardian Football Weekly has a audio long read on their feed a few weeks ago that's like called The Hardest Job in the World or something, and it's about refereeing. But yeah, they talk about how they don't want their call to alter the course of the game. But, like, your call isn't doing that. Like, whatever action the player took to deserve that call is what's altering the course of the game or the series. Like, that's how you have to look at it. And you can't let the state of the game, the time during the game, how important the player is to the game, like, to sway you. And yet we see it over and over again.
Well, that's because we place weight on the call. We don't place weight on the non-call.
Yeah.
Like, I, again, absolutely no correlation, but I remember, you know, it was late in a, when I was refereeing soccer, it was late in a, I think it must have been like a Coastal Championship final, and I awarded a free kick just outside of the penalty area. What I witnessed was a player proceed to grab the other player's arm and pull on them. Mm-hmm. That is what I saw. So what did I do? Called a foul. I elected not to give a caution because it is the first time that I had seen this particular player commit a foul. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel it was cynical. It just, the way the play had developed, this is what happened. Ensuing free kick, beautiful shot, top corner, game over. I mean, it was, I think, a 1-0 game or like a 2-1. Like, that was the goal that won it. At the end of the game, coach of the losing comes up and says, I can't believe you made a call that like that. Like, oh, see you later, coach. I'm not here to talk. It was too close to make a call like that. And I'm thinking, too close? But is it not just as close to miss the call? Again, what, like, I saw, the
game was too close?
Yeah. Like, in his estimation, it is like that call results in a free kick and what ultimately was a goal. Now, if I don't make the call, is there a free kick? No. In fact, it's, if anything, the ball might go the other direction. But like, thinking back to it, I don't recall, like, there wouldn't have been a quick count or anything like that. I mean, again, we're talking about youth soccer, so it wasn't as well developed. But I distinctly remember that event because my response was just that. If you feel it's too close to make the call, is it not fair to say it's too close not to? And I walked away. And then he accused me of being a smart aleck, which I probably was.
Yeah. I mean, right? Yes.
Like I'm a 16, 17 year old kid here. But I said it as like, you know, deadpan as possible. And off I went to the official's tent.
That's a good line to think of at the moment. I think like that's the thing. You're like there so it doesn't descend into chaos. That's the job of an official, is to like do the rules of the game, and obviously it's a tough job. I'm not like trying to put out there that it isn't, but
That's the thing. It's your you are there to enforce whatever rules may exist at a point in time, and there should not be an adjustment that occurs because of the time of the game, where in the series it happens to be, like, which like as much as the NHL, and again, we've talked about this on this podcast monthly, it seems, may not agree with us. The NHL has a problem where the officials call less what infractions may have been whistled in round one.
Yeah.
Whistle doesn't even make a move beyond the hip, you know, when it happens in the Stanley Cup final. And the argument's like, oh, it's because it's the good teams. The good teams are just there to play hockey. No, the officials are trained not to have any impact unless it's absolutely necessary.
And I remember, like, obviously this is pettiness, of course, but like, was this them getting swept, the Canucks getting swept by LA? I believe it was, unless it was their first round exit to San Jose. But the Canucks, like, went out of the playoffs with Dan Hamme sitting in the box with for a delay of game call, which was like a marginal call of him chipping the puck over the glass. Like, obviously the Canucks were down and out in both of those series, whichever one it was. Like, it didn't affect the series, but like, it's a marginal call on a tiny non-violent penalty.
This is where it becomes frustrating. If that were to have happened in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final with less than a minute left to play, that player, off to the box they go. Why? Because there is no ability to interpret what's happening. It is quite literally black and white. And that's where I think most fans would be frustrated. That's where if you can interpret other things, why can't you interpret this? Or alternatively, judge the game based on what it is you see without the noise of when, where, and what taking place.
I mean, that's the thing. It's hard because, like, I would say that is... It isn't black or white with delay of game because you're trying to guess whether it's intentional or not. And that
the right now the way it works is doesn't matter if you were trying to like do something and your stick breaks and the puck goes to space, off the sin bin you go.
Yeah, I think it's a dumb rule. So, but leaving that aside, the point is like, no matter how dumb the penalty is, if you deserve to take it and it's game seven, like, whatever. Like, Canucks put the Canucks in the box. Like, then you can't have any complaints because they're, like, refereeing the game of hockey as it is played in the NHL. So, yeah. I think it's just... It's a shame to see, and I think eventually something dangerous really will happen. And I think... Honestly, the NHL is lucky that they haven't had anything dangerous. And by dangerous, I mean, like, really, like, I think it's really serious injury could happen, potentially career-ending, potentially even worse. And it'll be because they let too much stuff go.
Yeah, but that's the NHL for you. Uh-huh. You know, back to the comment that we were making regarding to the Department of Player Safety and this being two games. I don't understand how a two-game suspension to Ben reinforces player safety in any shape or form. The player did not learn whatever the lesson may or may not have been. In fact, one might argue the suspension helped improve Dallas's chances.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe the only lesson he did learn is that he damages his team by playing.
Yeah. But again, that's nothing new. It's not going to change. So long as you have, you know, those who grew up in the culture and the system applying, you know, their judgment. And this is not unique to hockey. It's sort of sport in general. And I don't discount the experience that players possess, but I feel there needs to be more of a sort of non-partisan approach where you have, even if it was based on a committee that included, let's say, a player, an official, whomever, but then a medical professional or someone in a mediation space, because it is a wheel of justice.
Mm, always.
And there's absolutely no idea what deserves this over that.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
That's all I have.
So Vancouver Canucks, as we know, they've got themselves the 11th pick?
11th pick.
No.
They did not move.
You know, okay, I have to ask your opinion. Every draft lottery comes and goes, and the Vancouver Canucks are one number away from first overall. Do you get wound up by any of that, or do you just look at that as, no, it's a series of random numbered assignments? And
well, I would say I don't get wound up by it, but it's probably because I assign it to, you know, that nefarious, like,
the hockey gods,
Canuck luck. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, Canucks aren't gonna get anywhere. So even though I'm just like, yeah, they didn't move, they got the most likely scenario, which was not moving from 11th spot, I'm still like, yeah, of course they didn't. Canuck luck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely don't get too excited about it.
Well, as we know, they draft 11. And there's actually been some conversation that there are teams that wouldn't mind moving their way up to where the Canucks happen to be in an effort to get that player that they want, that they don't feel will be available to them later on. Now, I believe Detroit is one of those teams. Detroit's holding the 17th pick, which was for a short period of time, Vancouver Canucks pick, only because they had acquired it from the Islanders until they gave it to Detroit. But would you be willing, as a Vancouver Canuck organization, say, yeah, you know what, that sounds good, we'd like your second too, and oh, by the way, maybe there's a contract you can take from us, give it a, you know, what would be quote unquote a high price, but if you're a team like Detroit who you got room and.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think realistically, I don't think the Canucks entertain it without the contract part. And I would say that from my perspective as well. Like,
hey, Connor Garland tried to take on the entire country of Germany.
And he is small but mighty. We know this, but yeah, I don't think I would look at it without something substantial moving off the Canucks books, and I don't think the Canucks have much appetite for it.
Well, keep in mind, the Vancouver Canucks do not have a second round pick either. Like, if they were to facilitate a trade that allows them to keep a first round pick and get themselves a second, and let's say if this is with Detroit, who currently has like 40 in the second round, including the Vancouver Canucks second round pick that they sent along with the first extra first round for Philip Ronick.
Yeah, how generous of them.
Right. I mean, really what Detroit's saying is, hey, we'll give you your picks back. For that one, that one up there, we like that one a little bit more. I feel that the Vancouver Canucks, the sweetener to them is the contract. But I would also be maybe the mindset that you know, pick six later, plus your second, a second, is better than picking an 11 and nothing until like round 7.
I mean, yeah, But you also have to look at the fact that, like, Canucks had 15 last year and they gave away their, like, first the year before. And look how well that has panned out.
I'm not a fan of giving, like...
Yeah, I just think they don't want to go another year of missing their first round pick.
But they'd still have a first round pick. It's just not as high as they want.
I guess giving up a first round pick.
Keep in mind, there was a brief period of time where we were so excited because the Canucks had two first round picks.
Yeah. Brief period of time. Before Philip Peronik came along. Yeah, I guess also, but it's tricky because, one, like, they're not giving up something for Tyler Myers. He only has a year left on his contract. And who's going to take OEL?
Well, that's why I said Connor Garland. It would be that type of contract that would be off the Canucks books, which isn't the type of contract that moves the needle.
Yeah, I think Connor Garland's the only, like, realistic one, really. Just because I think they're, like, eager to get Tyler Myers off before this point, but it's just, like, what's the point?
You know what I like the most, and I'm looking at Cat Friendly right now, is that the Vancouver Canucks are the only team in the red?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Sam's tweet about that earlier. Obviously, there's time. Like, things will happen, but, like, yeah, it is.
Well, I mean, cap's going to go up and, you know, contracts get dealt with. But the fact that there's only one NHL team that is in the red, that is in, quote unquote, a bad place. There's bad places to be, and the Canucks are in a bad place.
Yeah.
And they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty grim to see, honestly. And I just keep seeing that little arrow at the end of Miller's contract. It's like, oh yeah, it doesn't even fit on the screen.
Yeah, and I should point out, there are some other teams in the red, but they're not in a bad place. Like, they're in a place where, damn, we haven't spent enough money, and we got to spend some more. So, you know, teams like the Hurricanes, for instance, who they're below the floor. You can fix that pretty easy, okay? Yeah. I mean, Arizona's below the floor. They'll figure out how to, you know, pump up the alumni team. Don't you sweat it.
Yeah. Can I interest you in a lightly used aging defenseman that you tried to get rid of already?
Come back to Detroit. Detroit's got $8 million that they need to get themselves up to the, you know, the floor with. Mm-hmm. Just saying, Canucks might have a player that could...
Yeah.
Fill that void.
By the way, I should say, I like think Canucks are going to be listening right up until they walk up on stage. So,
you know what I'd love to see? Yeah. I'd love to see, like, Alvin walking up the stage and then all of a sudden stop.
A little fake.
And walk back and then the huddle of the minds. Ooh, that'd be so good.
Is it like chess where, like, as long as you have the hand on the piece, like, you can pull back the move? So as long as you haven't stepped up to the mic, then
that part I don't know. Like, I would imagine that you have to submit in your
pick. I think you do, like, have to put once it in before you
the paper get on stage. Is in,
yeah,
that's done, so it can't, but I think there's probably still a way to make the, you know, the drama showmanship.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, where you don't submit a pick but you go up on stage, maybe, or you're not, you your own
instead
trade.
Of doing it digitally, you have to maybe walk it up. Oh, no. Gary would never let another team take the spotlight off of him.
He's old. Like, what's he going to do? Alvin could take him.
Yeah, true.
And Kirk McLean could, like, be the bodyguard and run interference.
Okay. We'll see Captain Kirk up there. We'll take a quick break and start dreaming. So, you might recall we had this segment on, what, two episodes back, I want to say, because you've been gone for like 3 months. But Dream Team, it's where we go and put together our dream team of players based on a thing, a theme, something. This week's something is fun/cool names.
Yeah.
So Greg McKegg's on the team. Are we? Is that clear? Greg McKegg?
Greg McKegg, he is on my list. So
okay, good, good. Because I was trying to Greg think, McKegg. And I'm like, Greg McKegg, he wins. I mean, there's other cool names, but Greg McKegg.
So he's always been my second favorite.
Oh.
So I would
Miroslav
say
Satan.
No, but I like Satan. I think my first favorite is still Blake Como.
Blake because, Como.
Yeah. I mean, like, your parents named you after a lake. It's so funny.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I was thinking, you know, Lake Como. I know what you're talking about, but until you said it, like, Blake Como, what's...
See, to me, Lake Como is the most famous lake in the world. Like, maybe Lake Michigan, maybe Lake Ontario,
I can't believe you're disrespecting... you know,
Trout Lake,
Okanagan Lake, like this, or Trout Lake. Yeah, Trout Lake.
Yeah, I mean, Trout Lake represent. But yeah, like, to me, I hadn't heard of any lakes in North America apart from, like, maybe Lake Michigan. I don't think I'd even heard of Lake Ontario until I, like, went to Toronto. Like, I'd heard of Lake Michigan.
So what you're telling us is the Great Lakes not so great.
And his Google review. Lake, Great Lakes, not so great.
Not so great.
Yeah, I think Lake Michigan and Lake Ontario are famous, but no one like has heard of the other ones in Europe.
Can you tell me the other three?
Lake Huron?
Okay, that's one. Huron.
Lake Erie?
Sorry, what was that?
Lake Erie?
Erie's number. That's the second one, yep.
I only know them because of Lake Erie Otters, but...
Okay.
Zero idea.
Superior,
which is a better, like, that's a more memorable name. So but yes, I'm actually very impressed that I got as far as I did, because yeah, it's pretty much Lake Geneva, Lake Como. But yeah, so to me, Blake Como is a superior name, but him and Greg McKegg are right up there.
Okay.
Do you have any other fours to submit for consideration?
Well, so, you know, I honest to goodness, I got to Greg McKegg and I got myself so wound up about Greg McKegg that.
Okay. Well, he's our captain. Let's just put that out there. Greg McKegg with leg for an arm and an arm for a leg is our like dream team captain. But yeah. I figured Blake Como, Tommy Wingles. That's a fun one.
I guess.
Okay, well, you come up with better ideas instead of just saying Greg McKegg over and over again.
Right, what's wrong with Greg McKegg? If I could clone Greg?
We can't have a team of Greg McKeggs. In defense, I submit Cal Clutterbuck.
Okay.
As in, he is a cluster. Cal Clutterbuck is a cluster.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I can accept that. I can accept that.
I didn't want to do, like, or just do funny foreign names, because I think that's a bit of a cheap laugh, but...
Well, no, but, like, I was going to, on that sort of note, non-foreign, like, Vince Dunn.
Vince Dunn, because he is... Yeah,
like, anytime he scores a goal, Vince Dunn scored.
Yep.
I mean, it's just great.
And right? Then when he's tired, Vince is done.
Yeah. You know, going with the Kraken for one more, if we're wanting someone else up front, Morgan Geeky. I like the name Geeky.
Oh, yeah. Morgan Geeky's good. We can switch him out for Tommy Wingles. I haven't really given thought. I think last time I actually gave thought to, like, forward line positions, but Morgan Geeky is a center, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. I know he's up front.
Yeah.
You're asking questions I cannot answer, because...
I will say, yeah, on foreign names, though, like, if we're going to allow one, and he's not a foreign player, but foreign name, Johnny Oduya, because any name that can start a sentence.
Johnny Oduya.
Like, yeah. That's pretty good.
That is good. It's just reinforcing how Forsyth and Golden, not so like, compelling. We wouldn't make this list.
I mean, Golden's pretty good.
I mean, okay, it would be if I was, like, you know, Ryan Smith and I happened to win, like, all the gold medals for Team Canada, then at that point, I think it's very synonymous, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, my name needs work along with to make it the complete package.
I don't know. I'm I think you definitely win out of interesting names. I think we did accidentally put together an actual forward line as well. So go us. Any other defensemen? I read about someone that I hadn't heard of before, but called Bill Quackenbush.
That name does seem familiar, but...
Yeah, so I thought that one was cool. So he can be honorable mention. He can be our six. Goalies. I found goalies hard. So I ended up having to look up one. So if you have one, we'll take yours, because at the moment
I don't. I'd have to really, really think about it here.
So I'll tell you my one that I looked up, and that's Frank McCool. He's an old-timey guy from
From the way back, yeah.
From the way back when. So if our listeners can provide us a goalie, that would be great, because Frank McCool, it's a good name, but, like, I wasn't familiar. So I feel like it's kind of cheating. Like, there's some good, like, yeah. Like, cool-sounding names, like, I mean, Luongo is just a good name. But it doesn't, like, stand out.
It doesn't?
Well, it's a good name, but, like, it's cool-sounding, but there's so much emotion attached that it's hard to divorce that.
Okay. Well, okay, actually, I mean, Darren Pupa, who was a goaltender.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that better. Like, Frank McCool is good, but Darren Pupa's funnier, so.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, goaltenders. Like, ones that I could remember from more recent history, but still history.
I was going to say, we went from Roberto Luongo to Darren Pupa, so.
Well, while we were talking, I'm like going through because so like I kid you not, I have this visual of my like hockey card collection and like names of because I had them in like a binder in the like plastic sleeves and goaltenders always at the front. So there, I remember goaltenders. And then like my Peter Zezel card, which went along with my Peter Zezel hockey stick.
Very good. I think Darren Pupa might be the winner. So, yeah, if any other names like come out from the listeners, please bring them up because, yeah, there's got to have been some fun names out there in history.
Yeah. Zarly Zalapsky.
That's a good name.
He was a defenseman, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, as you said, listeners, tell us who's on your dream team.
Yeah.
Cool. Obviously, name addition.
Like Greg McHagg is going to be the ultimate, but
yes,
there'll be some other ones too.
So here we are at the end of a show, one that you were back for, which is great. You'll be back again for the one next week or in 2 weeks' time. Sorry, not next week, 2 weeks' time. Who's counting? We're getting pretty darn close to the NHL entry draft, which then means we're getting pretty darn close to NHL free entry, which then means we're getting pretty darn close to the doldrums.
Yeah. Yeah, the NHL draft. I'm just trying to think. Will we have an episode then? June 28th. Okay. Well, I believe we will. It should be in two episodes' time. So, but we'll figure it out.
But yeah, book club. We haven't really talked about the book club in a while.
Yeah, so I mentioned this a month ago, I guess, when I was on. But the next book is War on Ice by John Branch. I have checked today. It is in the VPL if for all our Vancouver listeners. It's available at the Kitsilano branch, the Central branch, and Strathcona. So if you'd like to borrow it from your library, please do. We won't talk about it just now, but maybe after the next episode, I'd like to get some discussion going, and then we'll keep talking about it. But, like, let me know if you've read it, if you're starting to read it or if you're planning to read it. And yeah, we can get some talk going in Discord. But especially given what we're talking about with player safety, it is really hot button topic. So yeah, I think it's pretty clear that the NHL has not learned very much from Derek Bogard and others like him.
Yeah. And, you know, for those listening, you're like, well, what was that title again? Don't worry. Anna will drop it in hashtag C4 Book Club.
I will.
In C4 Discord, which you can join by going to discord.io/C4podcast. Got to this point of the show and you're like, hey, you know what? I think Chris needs to take Anna out for a pint to really tell her the nitty gritty, not suitable for a regular episode of C4 podcast story based on his trip to Montreal. Well, how can you help enable us to do that? Well, you go to support.c4podcast.com, which then will take you over to Buy Me a Coffee, or what do we call it, Anna?
Buy Me a Pint.
And you can support the show either as a one-off, where you buy us a couple of pints, on a recurring basis, which you could do so monthly, or if you commit to us for the full year, again, a slight discount comparative to the monthly rate. And the money that you provide us goes right back into the show. It pays for us to record our show virtually, pays for our hosting, and helps prevent C4 going dark because Chris's wallet has run dry, which could happen in the future, but hopefully we don't get there. But what final words of wisdom do you have for everyone this week, Anna?
If you are the captain of a hockey team or any sort of team or, any sort of organization and you are the leader and they seem to be doing better when you're not there, maybe have a look in the mirror. Hmm. That's all I have.
Yeah. I somewhat related to it. I'd heard this, saying once that, if you look around and you think you see an a-hole, you might see an a-hole. If you look around and all you see is a-holes, you're the a-hole.
It's good. It's more poetic than what I had.
I mean, just different ways to express it to the, you know, different learning types that we have available to us listening to our show. But yeah. We are here at the end. You can follow us on all the social media platforms at the C4 Podcast. You can find our entire back catalog at c4podcast.com. I already told you how to join Discord, which you haven't done so already, is discord.io/C4Podcast. But on behalf of Anna Forsyth, A4603, myself, Chris, at Lifeforce, signing off with We Out.